Hello everybody, I'm George Mylan. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel, talking about Reform United Kingdom. So the Reform UK party has made the weather for a while. So they were only founded under that name in about 2020, having previously been the Brexit party. So led sometimes by Nigel Farage, indeed the CEO of it. It's a company as well as a political party. So Nigel Farage has been this stalwart of Euroscepticism since 1992, when he was part of the so-called Anti-Federalist League, became UKIP. Anyway. Then they polled, was it 13% of the vote in the 2024 election, and got five members of parliament, one of whom, Lee Anderson, had defected from the Conservative Party, having previously been a Labour councillor, Labour Party members since the 80s, and even part of the miners' strike. All the other four MPs were former members of the Conservative Unionist Party, but none of them have been MPs for the Tory party. I was riding high in the polls, soon overtook Conservative Party, overtook the Labour Party, became the most popular party in the UK in 2025. And it's very difficult for an insurgent party to break through. And in some opinion polls, we're getting 35% of the vote. And if an election had been called then, when they were way ahead of Labour on under 20% of the vote, the Conservative Party hovering under 20% of the vote, Reform UK would run away with it. You know, 326 is the magic number. That gives you a majority in the House of Commons. And Reform UK was tipped to get well over that, close to 400 seats. It was staggering, because 35% is not such a high vote share, but it's all about the difference between the biggest party and the second biggest party. Remember, Labour got in about 33% of the vote in 2024, but those are well ahead of the Tory party, or what was it, 24%, you know, 9 percentage points ahead. So, wow, they made the weather. They did very well in local council by-elections and things like that. And obviously this past May, for the Scottish Parliament, the Welsh Parliament, for the English local elections, did pretty well, you know, being the second biggest party in Wales. Is it the third biggest party in Scotland? The English local elections won those, and so on. Performed strongly in by-elections, got Sarah Pochin elected in Northwest England. I can't remember the name of the constituency. So the first woman said, six MPs, then one of their men defected. Rupert Lowe formed his own party, what's it called, Restore Britain. And is it a few Conservative MPs defected. So Ella Braverman, Danny Kruger, Robert Jenrick, was it just those three? So yeah, they're parliamentary delegation up to eight at maximum. Partly they're sort of failed Conservatives. But because I thought peak reform initially was 2024, but it wasn't, it was 2025, and they have been coming down. So opinion polls down to 25%, down to 20% in some opinion polls. There's a burn and bounce. You know, when there's a new leader of the party, then that party tends to go up in the polls. Even the leadership contest, however fiercely argued it is between members of a party, it tends to boost a party's ratings. Andy Burnham, now he's won the Labour leadership, but he's not actually been inaugurated as Prime Minister. He's going to kiss hands on Monday. But already Labour is the most popular party for the first time in about a year and a half, and is ahead of Reform UK. And so Reform UK shown behind the Conservative Unionist Party in some time. So I think they'll continue on a downward trajectory. Okay, Labour are going to have a bit of a honeymoon under Burnham. How's that long going to last? 6 months, a year? We're not sure. And depends how it plays out. What policies does he change? Or how much continuity is there between Burnham's between him and Starmer's policies? So not all of which were unsuccessful. And what's going to happen with the economy? These are imponderables like inflation, unemployment, and just growth generally. And where are we going to be in 2028? Remember, the latest possible moment for an election is August 2029. So it could be over 3 years away. And, you know, if Reform UK continue declining this rate, they give about 5% of the vote by August 2029. I don't think they'll go that low. I think they'll go, they could go like about 10% on the current trajectory. Things could change. And so rather than have the five MPs elected last year in election, they could have none. Remember, the United Kingdom Independence Party, which was most of the talented people from UKIP went on to join the Brexit Party, which became Reform UK. They pulled over 10% in some elections and got, was it a one MP elected? So these things are very, very unfair. That they got, you know, could get more votes than the Liberal Democrats, but fewer seats and so forth. Reform UK has some significant problems. Nigel Farage is faced with all these revelations about his finances, which, even if legal, the £5 million gift people think is unethical. He's forced that by-election in Clacton-upon-Sea, the constituency he represents. Now, there are 34 candidates, which is kind of lucky for him. And none of them are from a major party, him against Lord Binface. So, okay, he'll win that one. It was a big mistake of the Conservative Party not to stand against him. Remember, it was previously a Conservative constituency for decades. And so some people are not enthused with him. Some people voted him last time, just won't vote at all. The novelty is worn off, whatever. The Conservative Party had a real chance, about a 40% chance of winning that one. And had they managed to turf him out of Parliament, that would have been an earthquake. I don't think it would have worked for the Conservative Party had the Tory Party even run him close. That would have undermined Nigel Farage, because it's a one-man band to a large extent. You know, he personifies the party in a way no other leader, no other party is personified by, an individual. Even when he's not been officially leader of the party, he's been the face of the party. And that movement for such a long time. So because there are a lot of people who dislike the Conservatives but hate Reform UK, and they would vote Tory holding their nose if they're usually a Labour or Liberal Democrat voter or something like that, is the lesser of two evils. It's very important to stop him in his tracks. There are all sorts of leftards who call him fascist. Now, his rhetoric is unpalatable. His policies are unworkable, undesirable, but he's not a fascist. He doesn't want a one-party state. He doesn't want concentration camps. I mean, he doesn't want to muzzle the media. That's the leftists. He doesn't want, you know, political prisoners, or I can't think. He doesn't want genocide, things like that. Come on, tone down the rhetoric. Just grow up. And, you know, is this kind of inflammatory rhetoric, which could have contributed to the murder of Anne Widdecombe, who was a Reform UK member. All right. So I think Reform UK has got serious problems. The other thing is, because it's quite a new party, but have a strong tradition of voting for them. They appeal to a lot of the less educated voters, those who don't usually vote. And so turnout could be problematic. It's also very problematic for Labour as well. So people who, rather than switch to another party, might not just not vote. And those who say they are going to vote Reform UK, about 30% previously voted Conservative, about 10% previously voted Labour, then they might return to their previous party. Some of them won't vote at all, and so on. So that's why Reform United Kingdom is facing serious problems. But, you know, it could go underway. It depends whether Burnham helps or not by some errors, you know, by moving closer to the European Union. Now, that is quite polarising. There is a Euro-fanatic segment of opinion in the United Kingdom. That's sort of maybe 40% of the population. And there are others who are Europhile leaning, who would want closer links, who wouldn't rule out rejoining, but they're not crazy about it. And of course, there's some hardline Brexiteers who think that what happened in 2020 was not firm enough and should rather have left without a deal. I mean, I suppose I'm a soft Brexiteer, by the way. Yes, I definitely wanted Brexit. I'm glad there was a Brexit trade agreement with the European Union. The terms were not ideal, but that's the nature of negotiations. I don't want to move closer to the European Union. I'm not against all cooperation with the European Union. I don't think the EU is evil. It's not. I do not want to rejoin the EU, but I realise it wouldn't be the end of the world. Yeah, though I'm a convinced Brexiteer, I do have doubts about it. Brexit has not been the triumph I was hoping for. It certainly hasn't been the cataclysm that the Eurofanatics pretend. But yeah, more could have been made of it, of the Brexit opportunities. And as public opinion is shifting more towards rejoining, that does weaken Reform UK. Reform United Kingdom's votes are often older. They're dying off, obviously, at quite a slow rate, and so on. So more effective leader than Conservative Party could win some people back and things like that. So goodness, we shall see. I think so. Reform UK is in long-term decline. Even if it is the biggest party the next time, they're not going to get 326 MPs. No informed observer thinks that. Forming well short, you know, 300 at best, 250, 200, something like that. And if nobody works for them, it's very much in the interest of the Conservative Party to see them fail permanently, so that, the Conservative Party will be the unchallenged party on the mainstream right of British politics. What do you think? Thanks for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon, donate to PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.